We have been blessed by the ministry of reading the Word of God by Brother George Jordan for several weeks. But he tried to help a missionary on Wednesday to take bags of wood to his home, 40 pounds each, and he tried to wrestle with that stuff. And at his age and his frail body, he's at home. So I'd like to read for you this morning, if you'll stand with me and read two passages of Scripture, Psalm 2 and Psalm 110. Let us stand to sing, to read, please. Psalm 2 and Psalm 110. Would you kindly stand? Hear the word of the Lord. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed or against his Messiah, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yea, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now Psalm 110, please. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at thy right hand, shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Matt Poster, please, to come and lead us in our prayer. Let us pray with our brother.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious messianic passages, Lord, that mention of the glory of the Messiah, the Anointed One, before the day that he was fully revealed. Lord, we realize even still his glory was, well, mostly hidden while he was here upon this earth. But it was seen by those three upon the Mount of Transfiguration and will yet be seen upon this earth by every eye. And every face will bow before him and declare him to be Lord of all the earth. And Lord, we want to just exalt him this morning, even as the psalmist has David written about him hundreds of years before his first coming. Our Lord, we pray also this morning that you will just guide the details of this service. Keep your hand upon us, O Lord. Direct us that we not do anything amiss, either in the front or in the back or in the seats or in the hallway or upstairs with the children, that all will be done to your glory and to your praise. Lord, I pray for our dear friends who are not well, some that are among us some that are not. We remember our brother Jordan and his physical ailment this day. We pray also for Mrs. Balakovich and ask that you will touch her body as she is sitting there in St. Joe's Hospital. Strengthen her, Lord, we pray, and help her to eat and to just be a great testimony there while she is there to the nurses and doctors with whom she has contact. And those of us, Lord, that go visit her, help us also to give a testimony to all that we encounter. I pray for the other family that we met up there in the intensive care who has great difficulties, and we lovingly remember them before thee as well. Lord, we pray for our sister, Miss Pine, and Mrs. Pinero as well, and ask that you will just touch them where they are out in Chelsea. We pray for their physical condition and their mental, that you will just help them in all of their things and all of the situations there. Pray for the nurses and the staff that are helping them as well. Lord, perhaps there are some here this morning who are heavy of heart, as our brother mentioned, and there's a rock, as it were, in the bottom of their heart, weighing them down. We pray that the comfort of God will be their portion, that you will deliver that to them, special delivery today through some brother or sister, through some encouraging word from the book, through some circumstance, whatever the case may be. Lord, that they will know the truth of the passage, that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Our Heavenly Father, we pray also for not only those that are not well or have difficulties among us, but everyone here, that we would all be growing up until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that there would not be one thing lacking, O Lord, that should be in our lives at this point, that it would not be said of us, Lord, that we are dull of hearing or that we are ones that need to go back to a spiritual kindergarten and get the basics all over again. Help us, O Lord, to move on, to grab a hold of the great salvation and to make use of the great benefits that you have poured out for us. Lord, as for our interaction with the society about us, we pray as well. We ask, Lord, that you will make the lights which are ourselves shine in the midst of the darkness of the perverse generation that surrounds us. We know the liberality of people around us, even in this town. And Lord, how they wish to throw off the shackles of God and do anything that they please. And we are well against that kind of attitude, Lord, and we pray that you will help us to be strong testimonies and strong forces for righteousness in the ways that are possible in our little circle of people, of co-workers and friends. We pray against the abortion problem, Lord, and how that has come such another hot topic again with the stem cell research and with Judge Roberts being waiting confirmation. We just pray for these things, Lord, and for great success, that, Lord, we would be for babies' rights, as it were, and not all these other kind of crazy rights that people want. Oh, Father, we pray for your help. We pray for the destruction of marriage. We pray that your hand will halt that to some measure. And, Lord, for each marriage that's represented by man or wife or both here today, may you strengthen it. And, Lord, may you spare it from the wiles of the devil. Dear God, we pray so that that would not be named. Divorce would not even be named among us as being shameful, as something done by the heathen should not be done by Christians. And so we just commend that need to thee this morning. Lord, we pray for government. We pray for the war on terror. We pray for all the international scene, which is just one thing after another in an uproar. If it's not a natural disaster, it's a human one, our war or genocide or something. And Lord, so we just pray that your hand will be upon those situations as well. Not just for those particular situations, but Lord, that the doors would be opened for true missionaries to bring the gospel of Christ to far-flung places, places that have not yet had a chance to hear in their generation the glories of Christ. And as we wish to exalt him today here, Lord, we pray that he will be exalted among the nations sooner rather than later, please, O God, we pray, so that things would just be better instead of worse. Of course, we know they will get as bad as they will in the Scriptures until the Tsar Shalom shall come. We look for him, O God. We await. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate the opportunity to pray one for another in the will of God. And thank you, Rich, for leading us in so enthusiastically with the music. Praise the Lord. We're very happy to have you with us this morning again and trust that the Lord will minister to your heart as you listen to the Word of God and sing the hymns with us and join us in prayer. Pray for the ministry upstairs while we're down here, that it may be profitable also as unto the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the lovely shower yesterday. And so Becca is here, and we rejoice that you had a good time yesterday. I know the sermon was good because I heard it several times at our house. You have to know, you have to grow, and you have to show. And praise the Lord for that. I thank God for a godly wife who has helped. She's not been up here in the pulpits frequently. She's hidden behind the scenes. It's like our sister Sin May here, who's staying in our home. We never know when she comes in and when she leaves. She's like a little mouse. But we just thank the Lord for those who are behind the scenes but are faithful to the Lord in service unto him. I want to thank the Lord also for the Sunday school this morning and those who attended. We do provide enough Bible study in this church to satisfy your heart if you want to take care of it. We don't need outside Bible studies, except this one he's got, which is an outreach one. And we thank the Lord for that. But if somebody comes to Sunday school, morning service, evening service, Wednesday prayer meeting, he'll get Bible stuff right down his throat. And I encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities. Many of you do. We trust that if you don't now, get involved, be a part. We're very grateful that two families are here this morning who traveled at least 40 miles to get here. And we praise the Lord for them, Brother Rich and his wife and family, and Brother Tim Lewis and his family have come over 40 miles to be here. And we praise the Lord for their presence, and we trust that you two families will be greatly blessed of the Lord as you participate with us in the things of God. We have two Olivias here this morning. There's one over on this side, and right behind you, Olivia, is another Olivia. Yeah, so we got two Olivias in our assembly. Thank the Lord. And we want to remember our brother and sister in Conga. They have not been feeling well, especially he, but just ask that the Lord may minister to that family to the glory and praise of the Lord. Our brother did mention some of the folks this morning, but some of the folks who are here by the grace of the Lord. They are not well, but God has encouraged them to be here and participate with us, and we thank God for that. On the back, is it there? Did you, Jeff, did you put the, you did. All right, there's a notice up there in the back on the bulletin board of the Dowell Lee wedding. And they would like you to respond accordingly. There's an invitation to the entire congregation to participate. They're taking us up to Troy to do it, but they're worth going for. So let's do what we can to support them in their intended marriage to the glory of the Lord. I believe those are all the announcements that I'd like to make. They're all in the bulletin, however, but our sister Ann Renfro is going to play for us. And I would like to also add that tonight our son Jonathan will be here. It would be a real joy for me as the pastor and my wife to welcome you to hear him preach. It's hard to get hold of him since he's 4 hours away. But he's going to lecture in Detroit and also here at the university on Monday and Tuesday. And so he volunteered to participate in our service tonight. So we appreciate you coming and hearing once again the word of the Lord through our son. If you have some of the Lord's money, we don't ask for your money, some of the Lord's money that belongs to him, and you want to invest it in this place, this is your opportunity to do so. As we do always, we receive the offering first, and then we stand to sing the doxology and have our prayer. And we want to do this reverently and honestly before the Lord. God bless you as you share. Thank you. Let's join our sister in singing. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Let's stand and sing the doxology, please. Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all but the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Dwayne read, will you kindly lead us in our prayer of thanksgiving?
Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for the singing of the hymns, the reading of your word, Lord, our sister playing. Lord, we just call now to pay homage to you, Lord, and that which belongs to you, to own it all. Lord, we pray that you take these, that we give these gifts and give it to your glory, that your name will be spread out throughout the earth, and those may hear it may come to thee.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that those who fight against your word, Lord, that you may give them a restless sleep, Lord.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you. Our sister Naomi Postoff is going to provide the music for us this morning. Let us listen carefully. I wonder if we could turn the fans down so we get a clear hearing of her voice. God bless you, sister. Thank you.
Beside you, he'll even carry you and sustain you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Tell you, he'll walk beside you, he'll even carry you and sustain you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. O Lord, thy mercy is great. Reaches to the highest star, and far above the heavens, or deeper than the sea, thy mercy is great, O Lord. As far as the east is from the west, as many are the sands upon the shore, even greater is the bounty of his loving kindness and tender mercy. Cast my burden upon the Lord. Cast my burden upon the Lord. He will not fail you. He'll walk beside you. He'll even carry you.
better that is than the superficial take care that you hear all the time. Get that out of your voice, my dear friend. Tell the people to cast their care upon the Lord. Blessed be His name. Thank you very kindly. Brother Rich, come and lead us in the next hymn. The children are being excused, and we'll be here to study the Word of God together. The hymn is hymn number 22, The Church's One Foundation. Hymn number 22, please.
Stand with me, please. Number 22, The Church's One Foundation. Thank you.
Let us pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank Thee for the great privilege that we have to be here this morning. as one brother prayed in the men's prayer meeting this morning. He thanked the Lord that he was able to get out of his bed and come over here today to be in this place. Our Father, we give thee thanks and praise and honor and glory. And we ask now, Lord, as we are here, that we'll give attention to the Word of God and put aside all the thoughts that normally occupy our minds and give our attention to the Word of the living God. Thank thee for the music that we have sung, that which was played for us, that which was sung for us as well. We give thee thanks, Lord. And we just pray now that as we give ourselves to listen, what does God have to say to us? Grant to us, Lord, willing hearts to believe what God has to say. And we'll thank thee for it. Open our eyes, O God, we pray, by the Spirit of God, to understand what is in this book. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Here in our church, when we start in a book, we keep on going straight through. And we don't avoid passages which are difficult. I think that I would agree with those who say that this passage is probably one of the most difficult passages in all the Bible. That doesn't mean, therefore, that we skip over to run away from it. We have a certain system of theological teaching in this church. We call ourselves dispensational. We are opposed to covenant theology. We teach the Bible literally. That's number one. Number two, we make a distinction between Jews, Gentiles, and church. While we believe in application, we do not believe interpreting passages that belong to the Jews or passages that belong to the Gentiles and make them in reference to the church. I hope you'll understand this. A third item is that we believe that the covenants in the Old Testament, the four major unconditional covenants, Abrahamic, Palestinian, or land, Davidic, and the new, are all in reference to Israel. They have nothing to do with the church. And lastly, we believe that God has, in his mercy, brought the whole thing together in his word for his own glory. It's a doxological thing, not a soteriological thing. That's why we don't get involved in trying to reach people in a ecumenical way, because we don't believe that. We believe that people need to be saved, and there's only one way to be saved. It's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not trying to please people or entertain people. We're trying to teach people. It was interesting that this last week I was asked, what are dispensations? Anybody who comes to this church should know those four statements I've given you. There is no other way to interpret your Bible except in a dispensational way. It'll be a closed book to you, my friend. There may be a lot of nice lessons, but if you don't use it dispensationally, you will not understand Scripture. Having said that, may I take you to the end verses of chapter 5 before we go to chapter 6. The end verses of chapter 5. This isn't working nicely. Why don't you turn this thing off and give me this? Thank you, brother. This is also a very difficult passage, but it's hard to swallow. It's not that difficult to understand. It's just difficult to swallow. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. The of whom should be of which, namely the Melchizedek priesthood. Lots of things to talk about, but he says you don't. You're too dull. You're sluggish. You've grown weary. You're not sharp. to understand this, so I can't explain it to you. You should be, after all you've known the Lord so long, you should already know what it means, and you should be a teacher and not a student. I'm interested in this. He says, what happened to you is you're just a bottle Christian. You're a milk Christian. I hear people say, oh, you're too doctrinal. You're too this, you're too that. Well, it's your problem, not mine. We ought to be people who are sitting at the edge of our seats saying, what are you going to say next that is doctrinal to help me to learn what the Bible teaches? Not some psychological nicety, but the Word of the living God. What does my Bible say? That's why he says here, you want to go back again to the first principles, to the ABCs? Come on, it's about time, he says. You ought to have grown up to be mature. That's what he means in verse number 13. You are to become as those who not have need of milk, but of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. He's untried. He doesn't really understand what it's all about. And I want you to notice that it's related to the word of righteousness. This business of Melchizedek is not something off here in the ethereal nonsense. It's right in teaching you how to be righteous. The practical righteous, the imparted righteous. How you are to live as honestly before the Lord. Not imparted, imputed, I'm sorry, but imparted. Imputed you get by grace through faith in the blood of Christ. Imparted is what you impart to others. You show forth the righteousness of God. Great need for that to be experienced, my brother. He says, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. The word for full age is perfect, who've come to maturity. Please do not misunderstand. I'm not passing judgment on you or your family or whoever else. But I find in my ministry there are very few people who are mature. I can tell you why. Because the text says it right in verse 14. Those who by reason of use have their senses, a sensitivity, an understanding as to what's going on, so that they can discern anakrino, they can discern between good and evil. I'm amazed that people look at the television and have no discernment. They look at the computer, have no discernment. People say to me, why can't I do that? And I say to myself, why? Why are you asking the question? Where is your discernment? I know that Philip Yancey, the very prolific writer, and many like him, were brought up in fundamental churches like ours. And they held to what he calls the ladder of spirituality. I don't agree with him. I think he's cuckoo. But he doesn't like to say no to this and no to that and no to something else. I was brought up and I have no regrets. No movies, no dancing, no smoking, no lot. I had all kinds of no's. We were not taught that that made a person spiritual. But we were taught that those things were inconsistent with believing Christians. And the churches we attended took the same stand. No question about it. We didn't believe that spirituality was based upon what we did. But because of our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love for Him, we took a stand and we called ourselves separated Christians. Now I know there are all kinds of ifs and ands and buts. I appreciate that. But our intent was to do the things that were pleasing to the Lord. It wasn't that we were to gain merit before the Lord, but we wanted to please the Lord. Discernment. Do you know how to discern between good and evil? good and bad? Do you know anything about that, my friend? And it comes through sensibility. Sensibility, that's what it says. Using your senses. Using what God has given to you. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your feelings, your capability to think. All these are senses. Now he says, if you have those sense perceptions properly, but how is it possible? It's only possible because you know the Word. See, it's based upon the Word. It's not somebody's kind of feeling, I feel this or I feel that way. If you know the Word, my brother, I don't want to beg the question, but do you read your Bible systematically every day? You have a way to do it. Are you studying the Scriptures? That's why I mentioned before Sunday school, morning service, evening service, prayer meeting. Even on Saturday, we men meet. Okay, all of us are not as skilled as somebody else, but the men do bring something to our attention. And it's good for us to hear what they have, what the Lord has laid on their hearts to bring to our attention. It's the Word of God. This is what it's all about. If you don't know this, my friend, I beg you in the name of Christ, change your attitude and your spirit and do what He has to say. Then you know, I've said all this because of the first word in chapter 6. Will you notice it, please? Therefore. Why the therefore? It's a small little particle in Greek, dia. Delta, iota, omicron. On the basis of the verses 11 to 14, therefore. It's very important. I, in one sense, I wonder if I should preach this passage, because it's got to be to people who are mature. It's got to be to people who are off the bottle. It's got to be with people who understand and are capable to discern. You'll pardon me for throwing this also. I'm unbelievably shaken that some people in our church have never come to Timothy training. We can teach you. We can help you. But some people don't want to go. And the discipline of having been taught and books to read and passages to study. Listen, my friend. You went to college. You went to this or that to learn. And it took a long time. We don't have enough time on a Sunday morning, 1 hour. For the whole service, or maybe an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half. Sunday night, the same. When you add up the few hours we have, maybe you've got 5 hours at the most to teach you. How much can you learn? Not very much. The discipline of learning the Word of God. Wherefore, or therefore, on the basis of a discerning believer who is a sensitive believer, a believer who has grown off the bottle, and he says, I want to be strong. I want to handle the tough nuts of the Bible. It's very, very important. I don't know if I'm communicating that to you this morning. I hope so. You may say, I'm rebellious. I'm not going to listen to you. I've had enough of your nonsense. Okay, that's fine. But the Word will come back to you, my friend. The Word is there. It's there for. What kind of a Christian are you? Are you feeding on solid food? Ask Jean Belakovich when you have a chance. She couldn't handle it. She couldn't swallow. Ask Mrs. Jordan. She can't swallow. And so they have to have other feeding methods to get the stuff into the stomach. And I was told that Jean said she couldn't. She was just thinking about mashed potatoes and gravy. They could have the taste in her mouth. Have you ever had that feeling about the Word of God? I just can't wait to see what you're going to tell me today, Lord. Did you read your Bible this morning? We had a lovely reading of this passage in Days of Praise today. Did you read that stuff? Oh, it's great. You asked Sin May, the sweet time we had reading that thing this morning as a little family. Oh, my brother and sister, how can I get you to understand this? You know, if you get Schwan's ice cream with C's dark chocolate from California, which Rob Miso gives to us, boy, that's really great. Or some scones that are sent by my sister over here, and put some nice little jam on it. Wow, I tell you, that was most delicious stuff I'd had for a long time. What, do you have that kind of a desire for the things of God? I don't know how to say it to you, dear friend, but you ought to have. That's why, therefore, now we listen carefully. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, man alive, you'd almost say, God, what in the world did Paul ever think of leaving certain stuff? The principles of the doctrine of Christ? You want to put them aside? That's what it says. Do you believe in verbal, plenary inspiration? Do you believe in literal interpretation of the Bible? Then you got to say, that's what it says. The aorist tense in the participle, which is used here, aphentes, comes from aphiemi. The aph part is away from, and the emi is the stand, to stand away from. And he says, I want you to leave. I want you to stand away from these basic principles. May I put it another way? The discussion about the person of work of Christ, I want you to leave that stuff. I don't want you to stick on that and never listen. What he's saying is, some people never get away from the elementary stuff. You can't stay and be a freshman the rest of your life. You can't stay in kindergarten all your life. You got to grow up. Our youngest son was telling us that because he's down in Savannah training for the G5, he missed the first day for his little girl to go to school in kindergarten. He wanted to be there for that. But you can't be in kindergarten all the time. The kids are going to grow up. And every time I talk to Bill Smith or the Beards over here or somebody else around here who's got little kids, and they say, look how they're growing. That's expected. Why shouldn't you expect that in Christians? To move up, to go to something else. Don't be all the time telling me I'm in kindergarten. I'm in the ABCs. Leave that stuff. I know it's a participle. Having left the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You see, it's a participle because there's a main verb. Look at the main verb. It's right there in the third line in my Bible. Let us go on unto perfection. Having left, you go on. What he's saying is when you leave, you're going to incorporate the basics, but you're going to get some more. Having left, let's go on. Let's proceed. This is interesting. Please, get hold of this. It's a verb which is in the passive voice. The passive voice means the subject is acted upon. Let us be borne along, be pushed forward, not stay. It's as if the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul, you Hebrew people, some of you are questioning whether you believed right because of suffering. Some of you need more information. Some of you are just not interested. But listen to me and tell you, you can't stand still. You can't. There's no believer who has genuine faith in the Lord Jesus who will be a static Christian. He will be a moving Christian, a growing Christian. Somebody goes from A to B to C to D. He keeps on going. Some of my lessons in speech therapy are say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and see if I can get up to 30 or 35 with one breath. Another one is say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and keep on going to that until I get up to about 3 weeks. Another one is January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, to go through that. That's fine. But the speech therapist said to me, I could give you these kinds of programs until the cows come home. You've got to make a move. You've got to move from the basement to the first floor in your voice. And I'm telling you what to do. Make your body do what you want it to do. May I say that spiritually? You got to make yourself do things. When our brother said to me, or said in his prayer this morning, that the Lord got him out of the bed. Well, yes and no. The alarm clock may have helped him. And also to get his feet on the floor was another thing. It would have been very nice at 6 o'clock this morning to say, Lord, just 15 more minutes, please. And finally, I convinced myself, get out of that bed. You move your body and get out of there. And I went to the bathroom and threw some water on my face, and things were a little bit different. Let us, having left one, move on. And when it's a passive voice, it's as if the Lord Himself will be there with you to help you. He'll push you out. What a wonderful thing. You can cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He does move you along. If the heart is there, the longing before the Lord, He will do it by His infinite grace. Let us move on unto perfection, unto maturity. I like that, don't you? Now, there's a negative to all this. If you do what He says in a positive way, then there are negatives. Don't lay again the foundation, and then I'll give the 6 points He has left listed there. But notice, don't lay again, and I've underlined that in my notes, don't lay again the foundation. It's okay to have a foundation, but goodness sake, get away from the foundation. Build the walls, put the roof on, do something. In our years of ministry, we heard people say something like this, you know, that's difficult. That's okay for you because you're a preacher. But don't bother me with that. I'm happy that Jesus died for me. He was buried. He rose again. He's in heaven. He's coming again. That's good enough for me. Don't tell me about all this other stuff. Don't mix me up with doctrine. Don't bother me about dispensations. Don't trouble me about whether we're pre-tribulation or post-tribulation. Don't bother me about that. Listen, if that is the way you look at it, you better read your Bible, my friend. There's a reason for finding out, what do I believe? Where do I stand? Leave these basics. Nothing wrong with them, but don't live on those the rest of your life. I was noticing just now in the service, you'll excuse me, I see everything from here. There was Hopi sitting on her mom's lap. And that little girl, I'm sure she wants to be where Carter is sometimes. And Carter would like to be where Hopi is. They got the same mommy's lap. Nothing wrong with it. But somewhere, Hopi's got to sit on the get on the feet and let Carter up there. And Hayden, I don't know whether he's sitting on your lap. No, he doesn't sit anymore. You know, that's a natural thing. But the parents just love the kids, and I'm sure the Lord loves us to shall I say, give fond concern for the basics that are listed here in our scriptures. Nothing wrong with them, but listen, you got to move on. May I say something that needs to be said? I'm going to support it by this little book here. If a person doesn't go on, will you listen carefully? And you can tackle me afterwards or invite me to your house or talk about it, that's fine. If a person doesn't go on, there's good reason to believe he's not saved. Good reason. And I was interested. I recommended this book to you a number of weeks ago. This is Andrew Murray. His book on the book of Hebrews. Andrew Murray wrote over 300 pieces of literature. He was the most outstanding spiritual leader in South Africa for years. They say if they'd followed Andrew Murray's teaching, there would have been a different South Africa. That was years ago. He was a very godly man. He was a very strong, reformed man in the Afrikaans church, which would be similar to maybe a Presbyterian church in our country. Very, very strong. He was, at 20 years of age, he was ordained as a dominie in the Afrikaans church. He was a man who had a master's degree. He could argue in Greek and Latin at 20 years of age. This is not some fellow scraped up off the street. He was a very, very knowledgeable person. And I just was amazed to read. Before I put my notes down, I checked on this one. I said afterwards, and I couldn't believe my eyes. He says this. I'm not quoting a man and saying you got to believe what he says. We believe what the book says. But it's very interesting. A man of these qualifications and burden for the Lord, he had this to say. Without these elementary truths, one could hardly be a Christian. But the man who rests content with them and cares not to know more cannot be a Christian as God would have him. Has reason to doubt whether he be a Christian at all. Very interesting. So when I say that, you say, okay, that's my pastor. We know him. His bark is very strong, but his bite isn't too good. Okay. Stop and think, my friend. If there's no going on, and you're stuck on the milk stuff, and you say, oh, it's all basic. That's all I'm concerned about. Don't bother me about all that other stuff. Well, this is the stuff that God wants you to know. Don't lay the foundation again. The foundation's there. But go on. If you don't go on, are you for real? What are the things that he talks about? There are six of them, and they go in pairs. Verse number one. Repentance from dead works and faith towards God. If there are any basic salvation items, certainly those are the two. Repentance from dead works and faith on God. That's number one. Number two, baptisms and laying on of hands. This is almost considered the show stuff of a person who says he's saved. And then the eschatological items, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Six items. Two refer to the ordinary stuff that you talk about in being saved. The second has to do with your position and saying, this is where I stand. And the last one has to do with eschatological stuff. He says, you've got to leave that. Those are basic. He says, I have no doubt about that. But if that's the only thing you're talking about, forget it. Leave it. Go on. Press on. And if you don't go on, are you really saved? Are you really born of God's Spirit? I like the Apostle Paul, as I said in my notes. He was an optimist. He was sure that God would do something. The point is that the word let's go on is in a first person plural. Let us go on. It may be that here he says, and this will we do. You follow me, and we just move on. You don't be afraid. I'm standing right there with you. I, the Apostle Paul, say, let's go on together. Maybe that's what he means. It certainly is a very great optimism. He was sure that there was going to be a response to what he had to say. Man, I wish I could give an invitation this morning. And for every person here this morning who doesn't regularly attend this church faithfully and doesn't come to the meetings faithfully, who doesn't read his Bible faithfully, who doesn't pray faithfully, who doesn't witness faithfully, and I were to give an invitation, I wonder if the whole church would come forward. You'd make me be like a fool because you know you wouldn't come. I haven't been a pastor for all the years that I have been to understand the Spirit of God has to move people in a strange way, a warm way. But I tell you, this will we do, the Apostle Paul says, to these people. He's talking to Jewish people who are professedly saved but are suffering. Jewish people who say, I need more information. Jewish people say, I'm not interested. And he's saying this to all of them. You say, Pastor, what's the sense of a warning like this? I've given you some suggestions in my notes about warnings. May I give you one that I didn't list? Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The warnings in Scripture are very, very important, and it's our responsibility to listen to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Very interesting one. Verse number 24. Don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the promise, the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, somebody who's disapproved. You think that's a good warning? Yeah, it's there in the Bible. Is there any significance to it? Of course there is. Do you take notice of it? I don't know. Do I take notice of it? I have to answer for myself. You have to answer for yourself. Do we take the literature, the reading of God's Word literally? Do we say, yeah, that's for me? When you read your Bible this morning, when you spent time in prayer, did you open that book and say, well, Lord, whatever you say, you got me. That's what it's all about. I know it's a tough road to hoe, my friend, but that's what the Bible's all about. He puts the warnings in there to tell you, are you real or aren't you real? Are you genuine or ungenuine? You see, this cuts across the idea of a guy like Philip Yancey, who says he doesn't want any ladder of separation. He doesn't want a ladder to tell him, I don't do this, I don't do that. Well, good to say, God has a standard, friend. God has a standard, and it's in this Bible. That's why he gave the law to Israel. Why did he give the law to Israel? To tell Israel, you're going to be different. And if you're not different, then you don't belong to me. See, but we're afraid of this thing. We don't want to be different. We want to sort of fold in to the wallpaper, fold in with everybody else. You can't be that way, my friend. I wear my little cap. I know it doesn't fit with my jacket. I know that. And somebody said that to me the other day. He said, you know, you got a suit coat on, and you got a tie, and now you got this baseball cap on. I said, yeah, but you see what it says. He said, yeah, I see that. I've been noticing. I said, well, that's why I wear it, so I can get your notice, so you look at me. I don't know, my friend. I don't know how you can display that you belong to the Lord. Can you carry a Bible? Please don't misunderstand, but isn't it interesting that all the Muslims, they do what they want? They wear the garb. And our sister Elsie Smith back here said that she used to work for the high school, and they wanted to change her gloves in serving a sandwich because the gloves she was wearing may have been tainted with pork. Now, she had the right to say no, or she had the right to say yes. And she'd always say, no, I'll use the same gloves. Now let me ask you, are you that much forward for Christ? Where you live and where you work, where you go to school? Do they know where you stand? Leave the principles. Go on. You're making progress. You're going someplace. This will we do. Ah, but you say, Pastor, it says, if God permits. So that shows it's not me, it's Him. So if He doesn't permit me, then I won't go on. May I say this to you, friend? The we will go on is our responsibility. If God permits, that's His business by responsibility. That's why I read for Gene Vilakovich, I don't know how many times, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. God knows. God is constantly active in our affairs. He never will drop that. Never. There's no fullness of so-called free will. There's accountability. Nobody's free. Only God is free. He alone. And the amazing thing is, if God permits, it's as if to say, well, you do your part, and God will make it possible for you to do what you're supposed to do. I commend this to you this morning. This is not a very easy lesson, but it's worthy of our attention. Oh, my friend, I don't know how I can say it to you. Be serious, be genuine, be reverent, be sincere about your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that's important. Everything else is just part of living. But this is very important. It's more important than life and death. I could just cry out, God, help us as individuals to say, I'm for real. And you can count on me. Not me, but God can count on me. God bless you, dear friend. If I can help you, my telephone is always available. I don't have it this morning, but I do have a cell phone on my belt now. I've come up high tech. But at any rate, if we can help you, or you can seek out somebody else to help you, do it. But listen, if you're for real, you will go on. If you're not, there's a good question. Good question. Am I really saved? God bless you, dear friend. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we've talked about some very serious matters this morning. When we think of repentance, metanoia, the actual change of mind and the faith towards God, the matter of baptism and laying on of hands, these are serious matters. And the belief in resurrection and the eternal punishment, those are all good things. But if that's all a man hangs on to, according to this passage of Scripture, it's not enough. You've got to go on. There's got to be a movement. There's got to be progress. Oh, Father, I cry out to Thee this morning. As one who's led the study this morning from the Word of God, move us, our Father. Do not allow us to sit idly by and say, well, I don't need to know those things. We do need to know. These people, they couldn't even handle the matters that pertain to the priesthood of Melchizedek. And there must be many, much more. And those were things that relate to righteousness. Righteousness to be lived out. Oh, God, please have mercy upon us as a congregation. Have mercy upon us as individuals. Have mercy upon us as families. And may the Lord Himself work in us, move us, so that there is progress in our lives. And it's noticeable progress. Not only that the Lord knows, but the world knows. Something's happening in that man's life. Something happening in that woman's life. Something's going on in that family, which counts for eternity. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. Thank you for the privilege this morning to exhort one another on the therefores, on the basis of the previous four verses. Therefore, leave, they'll go on. And these are things you're supposed to put aside. And this will we do as the Lord permits. Blessed be His name. Hear us in our prayer, Father. And thank You for the privilege to share it together this morning. Send us away from this place, resolved by the grace of God to be those kind of people that are pleasing unto the Lord. We have no question about us as to where we stand. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.